You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, Greeny, rolling along here, presented by Progressive Insurance. College basketball, of course, all around us. I love this week. I love this weekend. Tonight here on ESPN Radio, we got the Big 12 semis presented by Robinhood on most of these ESPN Radio stations. Sunday is Selection Sunday. Next week, we get the dance. So obviously, so much good stuff going on, so much fun to be had. I want to go over very quickly the trade. You just heard Doug mention it in the Sports Center, but let's get you to the bottom of why this is so significant before I get back to the conversation we were having at the end of the previous hour. The Vikings making the move with Houston. Last year it was the Texans making the aggressive moves to get the quarterback they wanted in CJ Stroud and also get the defender they wanted in Will Anderson, and we saw what it did. The Texans went from being one of the worst teams in the NFL into being one of the best. The Vikings find themselves now without their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and without a legitimate place to turn. I mean, they trade for Sam Darnold, or sign Sam Darnold, which feels like a bridge situation. So they make the trade now to add the 23rd pick to what they already have with the 11th. And quickly, Hembo, for everyone joining us here, on the famous Jimmy Johnson chart, what does that mean?
Yes, if you add up the value of the 11th pick, which the Vikings have, and the 23rd pick, which the Vikings acquired, what you get is a value that is equivalent to the spot between the 3rd and the 4th picks. Now, teams don't necessarily adhere to that like it's the Bible, but it gives you a good framework, a good foundation for what the trade up to 3, where the Patriots pick, or 4, where the Cardinals pick, or even 5, where the Chargers pick, just might look like, with those two picks being the foundation of the offer.
Now, so look, there are at least 3 and maybe 4 quarterbacks that I think will go in the first 6 picks. I think the Giants pick at 6 is the basement, if that's the right way of putting it, the floor, the opposite of the ceiling, for the 4th quarterback, which is to say, Caleb Williams is going to go number 1. I believe when all is said and done, Jaden Daniels is going to go number 2. I will not be floored if J.J. McCarthy winds up going 3 and Drake May 4. But either way, those two guys, I believe, will both go off the board no later than 6. And I don't think it is inconceivable that they go 1, 2, 3, and 4. I don't think that's impossible with someone feeling like, well, I got to trade up in front of the Giants, so I'll go up to 5. Then someone saying, oop, well, then I got to get ahead of them, so I'll go up to 4 in Arizona. Arizona wants a receiver anyway. There were tons of good ones in this draft. The Chargers probably want a lineman. There were a bunch of good ones in this draft. Both those teams can move back, and both very likely will. So we will see those quarterbacks go no later than that.
And I need to give you a quick update on where things stand with the betting market, because in the last hour, I told you at ESPN Bet, you could have played J.J. McCarthy to be drafted by the Vikings at plus 140. That was an hour ago. Now those odds are dead even. So there is a lot of action right now on the ESPN Bet app, presumably coming in on that. It would not surprise me at all if by the end of the day today, the Vikings are considered the odds-on favorite to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, which means that there's another trade to be made. And Graziano, who was in here with us earlier this morning, said, don't be surprised if these are conversations that have already taken place, that the Vikings have already spoken to New England or Arizona or the Chargers and are roughly aware of what it's going to take to get up to there to be able to select the player, and then we'll wait and see. And we spent a great deal of time in our first hour talking about Justin Fields and Caleb Williams and Chicago and their conundrum, and we'll get back to that as we go. But I did want to finish up the conversation we were having.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
And I feel a need to play the sound again because I think a lot of people join us at the beginning of a new hour. So J.J. Redick, whom we love and admire a lot, on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three, was making this point about Kevin Durant and the way he is perceived.
We're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the f*** did we spend all this time with all the bull discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game? He's literally one of the greatest players ever, and we spend too much time on the bull instead of just appreciating his night-to-night greatness.
Well, so there are so many answers to that. As I listen to it again now for like the third time, I think of another one. That is sort of what we do, isn't it? I mean, we spend a lot of time. If you were to take out the name Kevin Durant and just insert the name Josh Allen, insert the name Lamar Jackson, insert the name, who else is another quarterback who's come up just short? The quarterbacks and basketball stars are the ones we put in that box. Like, it's championships, or we got to figure out why you didn't get it done. Their job is to win the championship. They're so disproportionately important, quarterbacks and the best player on a basketball team. They're so much more important. They have such a better chance of influencing a team winning than any other player in any other sport, maybe with the exception of a goalie in hockey, that we expect that from them. So would we say the same thing about Josh Allen?
We would. And Lamar Jackson. And any other quarterback that is not named Patrick Mahomes that we consider to be great.
Okay, and so that's the point. But what the flip side argument to that, first off, is that those guys are still closer to the beginning of their careers than the ends. Kevin Durant is much closer to the end of his career than the beginning. He's been around a long time. And further, with Durant, a lot of what we talk about is not his play. It's some of the decisions that he has made. And whether it has been 100% his fault each time that it didn't work out, at the end of the day, when you're the guy he is, I'm going to sneeze.
I mean, it's one thing to navigate. Kevin Durant is inarguably a top 10 to 15 basketball player that ever lived.
Nah, he's not inarguably a top
10. Oh, he absolutely
is. Not top 10.
Kevin Durant is among the dozen or so best basketball players of all time.
How are you quantifying best? Are you going to say that he's had one of the 10 best careers?
No, I would not say that.
Well, that's what we're talking about. So if all we're talking about with JJ is just how, if everyone lined up and played one-on-one, then Durant would probably win.
Right.
But that isn't what we're talking about.
No, you're making a good point, because how one navigates, how one manages his career, obviously much of which is out of their control, but some of which is an enormous piece of this. LeBron James has made, even though he didn't always do it from a PR standpoint the right way, the right decisions, getting himself to Miami, getting himself back to Cleveland, getting himself to Los Angeles. All of those decisions yielded for him at least one championship. Steph Curry, mercifully, is drafted by an organization that builds perfectly around him. He never has to leave, ever. And two of his championships came in large part because Kevin Durant came. But Kevin Durant doesn't have the city that's going to build him the statue. That's Kevin Durant's lot in life. He's the greatest player in NBA history that doesn't have a city that adores him. And he's had to bounce around and in some cases has either gotten unlucky with who he's played with or has chosen the wrong people to play with. And that ultimately and unfortunately is a big part of his legacy.
He also hasn't had to bounce around. He's chosen to bounce around. He didn't have to bounce out of Oklahoma City. He didn't have to bounce out of Golden State. And he didn't have to bounce out of Brooklyn. He chose to bounce out
of
all
those decisions are commentary on how great a player he is.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Of course they are.
No, they're not. Kevin Durant's play is beyond reproach. His decisions have been, in some cases, awful. Yeah, varying degrees of awful.
But they've had great impact on how his play is perceived. If you don't win in the biggest games, if you don't have championships, if you don't make it to finals, if you don't have deep playoff runs, that is an impact on how you're perceived as a player. Once again, you're just talking about how good he is at playing basketball.
And I think that's what J.J. Redick is saying, too.
Well, but no one's disagreeing with that. But that just isn't that interesting of a conversation. Like, at the end of the day, that's a totally different conversation than the ones we usually have. Like, when we wrote the book, Got Your Number, which came out last year, one of the reviews of it that I read criticized me for making a distinction between best and greatest and suggested that I was I was trying to have it both ways by saying one person is the best and one person is the greatest. And I suppose you're entitled to have that opinion, but it's idiotic because the best is not always the greatest. Was Sandy Koufax the best pitcher that ever lived?
Yes.
Was he the greatest?
No, most definitely not.
Well, so then what are we talking about here? It's not about whether on any given day Sandy Koufax was a better pitcher than Walter Johnson or than even Roger Clemens or people like that who won 300 games, but his arm almost fell off when he was 29 years old, and so it didn't get to go on. Gale Sayers might very well have been a better running back than Emmitt Smith, but he's not greater. He didn't have a greater career. So, I mean, I don't understand why it is so complicated to make that distinction. I've never understood why people struggle with that. So Kevin Durant, if you want to say he's the best basketball player you've ever seen, he'd be close. He wouldn't be because defense factors into that. The best I think the best basketball player I ever saw was Michael Jordan. And there are others who would be in that conversation. But Jordan also has stuff that would make him the greatest. And that is what Durant is missing.
I mean, Durant did, though, have an incomparable run in Golden State, which even though he elected to go there.
You and I were together when that happened.
We were.
It was an unfair. It was a momentary loophole in the NBA rules that these new TV deals kicked in. The salary cap exploded. They were a team that won 73 games was able to sign one of the five best free agents that ever lived. It was unfair. They were a cheat code. It was not a reasonable. No other team in the league could reasonably have been expected to compete with them.
But they still played the games, and he was still the best player.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be. Like, if he hadn't been on any given night, someone else would have been. That's my point. You want to tell me I'm discounting those titles? I'm saying you're right.
Entirely.
Not entirely, but Giannis's one championship is worth more than that.
Agreed.
LeBron's one championship in Cleveland is worth more than that.
Agreed.
A lot of these others are, in the same way that Kobe's two championships after Shaq are worth more than the championships that he won with Shaq to him, even though one of them was three and the other one was two.
You know, J.J. Redick obviously does both, having been a former player and now doing what we do for a living and doing it very well. But when you listen to former players talk about Kevin Durant, they worship the ground he walks on because you see the work he puts in and the skill that he has is incomparable.
Yeah, and because he destroyed them when they tried to play against
him.
That
too.
And I understand that. He is a much... Look, if you were having a draft and you could either draft Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, you would take Durant.
Every time.
The league would take Durant. But Curry's had a better career.
I agree with that.
But here's the other side of it. Curry had to win the MVP of that title against Boston to earn that.
To leap
there
him.
Were still questions about Steph.
There were
still, did he need... He wasn't the MVP when they won it the first time. And then did he need Durant and all... And then when he put Boston to sleep, I was there that night, game six, in the building in Boston, two Junes ago, and he was the MVP and he was the unquestioned best player on the team that won the championship and was the reason that they won. That was the one piece left from his resume he hadn't accomplished. It's okay to say that people haven't done everything yet. He hadn't. Now he has.
I'm going to go through this list quickly then with you to see where you would slot KD in at this very juncture.
Go
so
ahead.
ESPN's rank had Kobe 10th. Do you think Kevin Durant is a greater player than Kobe Bryant?
No.
Shaq is 11th. Is he a greater player than Shaq?
No.
Is he a greater player than Hakeem Olajuwon, who's 13th?
That's close.
How about Dr. J, who's 14th?
I mean, if you take out Dr. J's ABA career, well, there's no reason to take that out, right?
Mm-mm.
See, Dr. J's his most of the winning he did was done before he came to the NBA. They only won one championship, and he needed Moses Malone to do it. I would probably put Durant. It kills me to say it. I would probably put Durant ahead of
Moses Malone is 15th on this list.
He was so good. I mean, Durant just does so many different things. Malone played in a different sport at a different time. That's a very close one. Who else is there?
Steph Curry is 16th, and you think he's...
Curry's ahead of him now.
You believe he's past him?
Yes.
Do you think that is inarguable? Do you think that is a standard opinion?
I'd like to hear the other argument.
Well, I mean, I think the other argument would be when these guys play together, there was no question who was the better player.
Yeah, but I think Steph had a lot to do with that. Like, Steph was deferential in ways that I'm not convinced he had to be.
No, I agree with that.
And again, I'm not arguing Steph is a better player. I'm arguing Steph has had a greater career. Steph's career is greater than Kevin Durant's career. He isn't a better player.
Mm. And so do you think Kevin Durant is very likely done doing any high-level winning?
I hope not. I like Kevin Durant. Like people, I think sometimes perceive these conversations to mean I don't like him. I do like him. I think he's great. I think he's a good guy. I'm still old enough to remember when his mom was the real MVP and everyone loved him. He was the most beloved player in the world. I would love to see him win a championship with this team, lead this team with Devin Booker to a title in Phoenix. That would change all of this. In the same way that Steph's story was not written, Durant's story is not entirely written. All right. Well, let me break on that thought. We got to get back to the football because that's really what's going on right now. I'll give you a green list.
Hey, Greeny.
Yeah?
As we're doing basketball, I got a little trip down memory lane for you. Hit it, Cam.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king on the microphone, so is Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks that take me to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll. I like the give and go, because it's basketball with Mr. Curtis Flow.
I'm so good at that. I mean, I'm so good at that. We'll be right back on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Got a green list coming your way as we wrap up free agency. That's in 30 seconds after this reminder that ESPN Bet is now live as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place you can find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
Green list.
All right, so free agency is not over by any means. In fact, some of the most important moves have not been made yet, but most of the big names are off the board. And so as we reach this Football Friday, I will give you my green list of the top five most impactful moves we've seen so far.
Number five.
Five, I just named the bridge quarterbacks. What we saw in Minnesota, and that was proven out further today by the Vikings making the trade that should enable them to move up further. Again, Minnesota, New England, and Vegas are the three places where they made quarterback moves that will beget another one. Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew. No one thinks those are the long-term answers in any of those places, so I would keep a very close eye on all three of those places for quarterback draft picks.
My favorite of those moves was Jacoby Brissett returning to New England. What I would love to see is them start him 17 times next season, draft a quarterback at 3, allow him to sit for an entire year, which is a path that I think way more teams should do, but nobody's patient enough. They actually have the opportunity there, and the roster stinks. They could potentially ruin a rookie quarterback this
season. Then why wouldn't they trade that pick and get a king's ransom for it and start building a really good roster and figure out the quarterback another time?
I would be in favor of that, too. The only thing I would not be in favor of is drafting a quarterback and playing him right away. I think you could definitely justify punting the quarterback responsibility into the future. I haven't done enough work on next year's quarterback class to know who's there and if there are any good ones at all.
They're not supposed to be as good as this one, by any means. I will say this. We might have said something very similar about Houston last year. And C.J. Stroud played from game one, and he had the best rookie season in history, right?
That's true. In my opinion, though, the Patriots roster right now is considerably worse than the Texans roster on week one of last season. And the fact that they traded their first-round pick to go get Will Anderson, this year's first-round pick, was an indication that they thought they were pretty good, too.
I think that's probably right.
Number four.
Anyway, number four, I love the Packers signing of Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is a terrific player. Look, the pendulum swings, right? Pendulums swing. It's what they do. So for a long time, running back was the most important position in the NFL. Long, long time. I'm more than old enough to remember that. Then the pendulum started to swing. The rules changed. Salary cap. Quarterbacks became important. Receivers, blah, blah, blah. And the pendulum swung all the way to running backs don't matter at all. They're not worth paying anything more than an hourly wage. And you can get any one of them and plug them in there and they're going to be just as good. And that is greatly overstating the truth. So this offseason, I think, saw the pendulum start swinging back again to a reasonable place. Josh Jacobs is an important player. He is an excellent player. He does make a difference. He is younger and better than Aaron Jones. And he will make an already outstanding, dynamic, and growing Green Bay offense even better.
Yeah, I think that's right. He's going to play this season at the age of 26, 1 year removed from leading the NFL in rushing and touches and yards from scrimmage. That year, he had nearly 1,100 rushing yards on first down alone. I think you'll see the Packers ride him a lot in early downs. That is Matt LaFleur's formula. They major in play action. He's going to be very additive in that offense.
Number three.
I also like Derrick Henry going to Baltimore. And here's the thing. People say, oh, well, they almost won the Super Bowl anyway. But that doesn't have anything to do with it because they don't start there again. Like, we don't pick up the season next year with Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. If you did, then they wouldn't need Derrick Henry. He isn't the reason, not having him isn't the reason they didn't beat Kansas City. That's the simple argument against it. But I say simple in a discouraging way. I mean that as a pejorative. You have to be simple to make that argument because the Ravens still have to get through the AFC again. They're not the one seed again because they were last year. They still have to hold off Kansas City, Cincinnati, an improving Pittsburgh probably, Houston, whoever else it is you like, Buffalo. They still have to win all those games. And you know what's hard to do? It's hard to win games multiple years in a row when your leading rusher is your quarterback. Lamar Jackson is uniquely gifted, but even he cannot be expected to just do this year after year. Derrick Henry is a beast. He is one of one. He is a dynamic weapon, and he will help the Ravens get back to that point where they have a chance to get over the hump this time. I love the signing.
Yeah, the Derrick Henry signing is the Ravens admitting something that we already knew, and that is that the Ravens are not going to go to the Super Bowl, not going to win the Super Bowl, if they don't continue to improve their passing game. Derrick Henry can solidify that position, the running back position, can be the aircraft carrier in their run game, and hopefully the Ravens add another piece or two in the passing game so that Lamar Jackson can continue to improve. It'll be year two in the Todd Monken offense. Derrick Henry will, I think, alleviate a lot of those responsibilities, even if statistically the running game isn't all that much better.
Cam.
Yeah, just to add to this, Derrick Henry has led the NFL in rushing attempts 4 out of the last 5 years. The only year he didn't was when he didn't finish the season. So although he may be slowing down a bit, he's going to take a huge load off of Lamar Jackson.
An absolute horse.
And he was on pace that year to have his best season.
Yeah, he would have gone 2,000 again.
But he got hurt.
He's rushed for 7,000 yards across the last 5 seasons.
Yeah.
He's insane.
He is. I mean, we talk about him like he isn't the best back in football. I get that McCaffrey does things others don't. Derrick Henry's been the best running back in football for the last 6 or 7 years.
Oh, of his generation, I think Derrick Henry is number one. He's going to the Hall of Fame someday. Derrick Henry is a phenomenal back. he's on the back nine, but he can most definitely still help Lamar Jackson and the Ravens a lot.
Yeah, I think he's still got a couple of putts to make as he goes along.
Number two.
The Eagles signing Saquon Barkley, I've also been clear about where I stand on this. Barkley's another one that we undervalue. And I made this analogy yesterday with no disrespect intended to this particular player. But the idea that no one bats an eye at Gabe Davis getting $13 million a year in Jacksonville, but somehow think it's crazy that Saquon Barkley got a little less than that to go play for the Eagles, just goes to show you just how completely off the reservation we've gone when it comes to the way we evaluate these running backs. You tell me, what team is it that would rather have Gabe Davis than Saquon Barkley? You tell me the game in which Gabe Davis has a greater impact on the outcome than Saquon Barkley.
So impact is a nebulous term, though, because Gabe Davis is someone who can stretch the defense. He can pop the lid off of a defense. He requires your defense to expand because there are more blades of grass for which he can account. Saquon Barkley is most definitely more additive in terms of like the tangible touches and volume and what you have to game plan for as a defense. But Greeny, if running backs like Saquon Barkley were just super valuable, then teams in the NFL wouldn't just let him go after 6 years, and they wouldn't just sign for $27 million guaranteed. Like, this is what the league, what the experts in the league have decided is a positional value chart, and generally speaking, teams adhere to it. And while I do think that the running back can be devalued, I think generally speaking, Saquon got exactly what Saquon should have gotten.
Yeah, that's fine. But people talked about that like it was too much to pay for a running back.
Myself included.
Gabe Davis caught 45 passes last year. That was his tangible contribution. Now, I get it. He's a good blocker. He's a good teammate. He's a good guy. I'm not trying to knock him. But, I mean, Saquon Barkley will have the actual impact on the field that Gabe Davis had by week six. He'll have that. Gabe Davis had a total of 746 yards from scrimmage last year. Are you telling me if Saquon Barkley stays healthy, he's not going to have at least double that?
Yeah, that's five games for him.
That's what I mean.
That's five games for him.
So, I mean, I feel like you're agreeing with me as you disagree with me.
No, I don't agree with you that there's somehow this massive disconnect in terms of what they'll actually earn in the next contract. It's all about the people that are available to you. Like, you could have signed a Saquon Barkley adjacent player for very, very little money and still gotten 80% of Saquon Barkley.
You could have signed a very, very Gabe Davis adjacent player for less money and gotten the same thing too. Gabe Davis got a game ball for one game by his teammates in a game in which he was not targeted. And everyone was saying it showed what a great teammate he is, which it did, because he was such a willing blocker. But the other thing it showed is that they won a game in which they never once threw him the ball.
Didn't he once catch four touchdowns in a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, he did. That should have been, that was his magnum opus.
That was his magnum opus.
That was the 13-second game.
He caught almost as many touchdowns in that game as he did all of last season.
That's correct. He had seven touchdowns all of last year.
Number one.
Finally, number one is the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. Let's lose the music on this. So he's another one. We talk about the money like the money is what determines whether the move was a good move or not. But the truth is, if the Falcons get to the NFC Championship game, what's the last time the Falcons were in the NFC Championship game? 1998?
No.
They went to the Super Bowl.
2016 is the Super Bowl year, 2016.
Oh, the Matt Ryan. Sorry.
And
you're right.
They also made it in 2012.
Yes.
When they lost to San Francisco and the Harbaugh team.
Yeah.
Sorry. I forgot about the Matt Ryan era. Sorry about that. And either way.
It was a long time.
It's been a long time. Right? I mean, they're not a team that has consistently been good, and haven't made a deep playoff run in whatever that is, 8 years. I apologize for having completely spaced on one entire era of pretty good Atlanta football. But the point is, they were starving for a quarterback there. Starving. So if I'm ever starving, and you walk over to me, and you've got a steak, and you're like, Greeny, how you feeling? I'm like, I'm so hungry I could faint. And you hand me a steak. My first question is not going to be, how much does it cost? My first question is, thank God I got a steak. Now I'll figure out how to pay for it.
But Kirk Cousins isn't a steak.
What is he?
He's ground beef. He's like a medium rare ground beef.
Well,
like
then
a nice steak.
What
burger.
Is something bad? Who, what's a bad player? He's not a bad player.
No, but I mean, I like a good burger.
Okay, so do I. And if I was starving, I would take a burger too.
Sure.
So what wouldn't
but
you take?
You wouldn't pay $40 for that burger.
I would eat the burger and then ask you what it cost.
But they paid $40 for the burger. He cost $15.
But I couldn't otherwise get a burger. Well, then there was no other burger.
But you'll
to
still
be
had. Filled if you wind up eating SpaghettiOs.
But you the SpaghettiOs aren't good enough. See, you're shortchanging how good Kirk Cousins is. I'm usually the one shortchanging Kirk Cousins is, but now you're really shortchanging how good he is. With that team, he's good enough for them to be in the NFC Championship game next year.
I did the best I could to provide a tangible, actual number here. So there are going to be some gory mathematical details, but I think it will make my point well. We have a metric called points above average, which is the number of points contributed by a quarterback. It uses our QBR metric to get you there. So using that methodology, using those stats, if the Falcons had gotten 17 games of Kirk Cousins last season, they'd have scored 45 more points. So they'd have jumped from 26th to 16th. I think that's a very reasonable amount of improvement. Like if you're going to get another, let's see here, if you're going to get three more points a game from a quarterback, that's worth a lot. But it's not worth $100 million guaranteed. That's all that I'm saying. I think Kirk Cousins takes them from one tier to the next. I think what you are arguing and what many are arguing is that Kirk Cousins jumps the Falcons multiple tiers. That is not something that I do see happening.
So here's, I disagree with you on a variety of different fronts. So one of them is you keep talking about the money like it is germane.
Mm.
The money... No one asks how much it costs when you're having the parade. So let's forget about the money. So all you're now talking about is just how much better. Let's just debate how much better Kirk Cousins makes the Falcons.
Okay.
Their quarterback play last year sucked.
Bottom quarter of the league.
Is
easily.
That all it was? I mean, I thought it was.
By most measures, they were somewhere between like 24th and 28th.
Yeah, but that actually is worse than the numbers would suggest. Because their talent is so good that it was elevating how bad the bad quarterbacks were. If you had made Desmond Ridder the quarterback of the Jets last year, mm-hmm. he would have made Zach Wilson look like Joe Montana. Okay? So that's my point. Like, you have these great players, and you're getting the 24th best quarterback play. So if you would have had if you can give me Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. who could be the 16th best quarterback in a vacuum, but you put him on that offense with what everyone is telling me is going to be a really smart, one of these Sean McVay disciple offenses, mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan, whatever it is, these offenses that he is perfectly capable of running or perfectly designed to run. That's exactly what he should be running. All the things that are going in his favor and all the rest of that, he is going to play better than his overall ranking. Like, I would not be surprised if he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL next year, even if he isn't one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Okay, so last year there were 25 teams, like I said, 25 teams that scored more points than the Falcons did. Predict it this year. Where will the Falcons fall just in terms of how good their offense is by merely jumping from quarterback to quarterback and most of the rest of the nucleus being exactly the same?
No, but you're leaving out one other important person, and that's the coach. I thought the coaching was horrific last year. I thought Arthur Smith, who was a very highly regarded offensive coordinator, did an absolutely terrible job. He was yanking one quarterback in and out and in and out. Total panic. They never had any stability at the position, mostly because both players are bad. And the scheme didn't seem to in any way match up with the talent.
You're just throwing darts.
This not going to be the case. So I think the combination of the better coaching, which everyone is telling me it's going to be, and the better quarterback, they'll go from 26th in scoring to something like 12th in scoring.
Who's got the better offense, San Francisco or Atlanta?
I mean, it's impossible for me right now to tell you Atlanta's going to have a better offense than San Francisco, but I think they have a chance to be really good.
Dallas or Atlanta?
I mean, as currently constituted, I think Atlanta has a chance to have a better offense.
How about Detroit?
As currently constituted, I think Atlanta has a chance to have a better offense.
How about Philly?
What do you mean, no? Just stop a minute. Would you rather have Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson?
It's closer than you might think.
Is it? I mean, not one person thought that going into the draft last year. And Jahmyr Gibbs wound up being part of a really good two-headed attack and made huge plays on a really well-coordinated offense. And Bijan Robinson had games where they forgot he was even on the team. No one would have taken Jahmyr Gibbs ahead of Bijan Robinson last year. Literally no one.
But all that stuff matters. They are more established as an offense and they're growing together, whereas Atlanta is trying to learn how to play together for the first time, even though they've all been there a couple of years, they're learning a couple new things. I think the Detroit offense is better.
Okay, I can't argue that.
How about the Rams?
The Rams are probably better.
How about the Packers?
I mean, you're gonna need to see it, but I think the Packers have a chance to be better.
So it looks like you have the Falcons as something like the fifth best offense in the NFC.
Right.
Okay. So I think they're a little bit worse than that, but you and I do see eye to eye here. They're gonna get a lot better, and they're gonna get a lot better because of Kirk Cousins. I just don't think Kirk Cousins is going to come close to justify the amount of money that they paid him.
No people have ever disagreed this much and seen eye to eye. You know, tournament time, Big 12 championship game, followed by the ACC championship game here on most of these ESPN radio stations, presented by Robinhood. Trivia, Hembo, go.
Who owns the record for points in the NCAA men's tournament as a freshman? The freshman scoring record in NCAA tournament history.
Total points.
Total points.
Points per game.
Total points.
Because that's important. Answer next, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We will do the traditional Friday Who You Got in a moment. But first, we will take our shot at Hembo here. Go.
Who owns the record for total points in the NCAA men's tournament as a freshman? The freshman scoring record in the NCAA tournament.
So I needed to remind Jack and others during the break, Pineapple Jack, that freshmen did not used to be eligible to play. And they had their own freshman team. So like guys like Lou Alcindor and those did not play as freshmen. So I have two in my head. I have two people that I think it could be, and one of them is not very sneaky. So I mean, Carmelo Anthony was a freshman and led Syracuse to a national championship in 2003. He was the best player on that team, and they won the title. So my immediate inclination is to say it's probably him. But I think you would not be living up to your nickname of Sneaky Hembo if that was the answer. So... But you told me that, wait, did you say the answer does not come from as far back as the 80s?
Everyone on the very top of this leaderboard, which is to say like the top 10 or so, are all since 2000.
Oh, all right, then I'm going to go with Carmelo, because I was going to try and go off the board and say the last team I remember winning a championship, I think with a freshman, was with Never Nervous Purvis Ellison. I think Purvis Ellison was a freshman at Louisville when they beat Duke for the championship in 1986. I may be remembering that wrong anyway, and it doesn't make any difference because you've already told me he's not the answer. So I don't have a better answer, so I'm going to go Carmelo Anthony. What do you got, Cam?
Yeah, I'm also going with that. This is not my area of expertise, so I'm sticking there, but I assume it's not that obvious.
It is Liam's area of expertise. Liam, who do you have?
I went Carmelo 2.
Okay, very good. That's a lot of Carmellos.
And that is also the guess for Jack and Brandon.
So this that means it's not right.
There's no way it's right. I mean, is this no? So let's think this through a second.
I mean, there's Iverson, there's KD.
Who else could it be?
Iverson's before 2000.
That's right,
Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
See, Anthony Davis, the thing about Anthony Davis was all anyone talked about was how he was like Bill Russell. He did so much without scoring. I think he was like the fourth leading scorer in the championship game. When they won the title, I mean, he was the best player, and he was the first pick in the draft. Who else? I mean, we're just thinking of guys who won the title. You can make it to the championship game and lose and still be on this list. I'm thinking it's got to be one of the Calipari guys, right? It's all these one and dones. How far did Derrick Rose's team make it? Derrick, they didn't win the championship in Memphis. They lost to Kansas in the title game. It could be Derrick Rose. It's not going to be Carmelo Anthony. I refuse to accept it. If we all say Carmelo Anthony, that's going to be the answer.
We got
to
find out somehow.
But I want to get to who you got. So I'm going to change my – I guess I'm officially changing mine to Derrick Rose.
And the correct answer is Derrick Rose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a day. Oh, happy day. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, I can't tell you how smart I am.
Wow.
I'm amazed at myself. I know more about sports than any human being that has ever lived.
Yeah, it's only your first question right in like 2 weeks.
So Derrick Rose scored 125 points in 2008. Carmelo Anthony scored 121 points in 2003. The only other freshman with 100 was Zion Williamson, who scored 104 points in 2019.
They only played three games.
They lost in the Elite Eight.
They got
He scored all those points.
Didn't Zion get knocked out in the Sweet 16?
No, they lost to Michigan State in the Elite Eight. So he scored 104 points in four games.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, well, then I'm remembering everything wrong, but I got the answer right, and that's all that matters. All right.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it. Who you got?
Cam pitch hitting for Bubba with who you got today. Let's go.
All right, who you got? Brought to you by Granger. Suns at Bucks, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, right here on ESPN Radio. Who you got here?
That's a sneaky, interesting pick to be an NBA Finals preview. It is, of course, an NBA Finals review of a series we saw just a few years ago. I'm on record as saying I like Milwaukee in the East. I will take the Bucks to win that, and I still think, as brilliant as Boston has been, the Bucks are going to make them sweat at minimum in the playoffs. That's my hashtag KOD, which is brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
All right, what else do we have?
Bees swarmed the court at the BNP Paribas Open during a match between Carlos Alcaraz and Alexander Zverev. Alcaraz wins the match. When's the last time you were stung by a bee? Who you got?
I actually was stung by a bee the day I played Royal Troon. So we were on a golf trip to Scotland. We're having an early lunch, and we have an afternoon tea time, and I get stung by a bee on my finger. And I was so concerned. I had never been stung by a bee before.
In your life?
I'm not 100% sure it was a bee or a wasp. It was a bug that stings. And it stung me right on this finger. And I was really concerned I was not going to be able to play as well as I normally do. And I toughed it out. That was my flu game. That was my, with that stinger right in there. I mean, I had the stinger right in there.
Oh, it stuck in the skin?
I got the venom in there.
Venom?
Wait, is that what they
had?
It
wasn't a snake.
Whatever it
was.
It's
a bee.
I toughed it out. I played great.
One of the gutsiest performances in sports history, saying.
It's in the book. Yeah. But and by that, I mean a book I wrote. So anyway, that was it. So that would have been the summer of 2019.
What a warrior.
Next.
Who you got? Brought to you by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And 2 years ago, our friends Joe Buck and Troy Aikman became the voices of Monday Night Football on ESPN. Who you got as your favorite broadcaster ever?
Oh, well, I mean, Howard Cosell. I've said a million times Howard Cosell was the one who inspired me to want to do this for a living. Costas is sort of my idol, and I have referenced him that way many times. And he's someone whose work I've admired and tried in my own small way to emulate. No one could ever do what Howard Cosell did, but Cosell is the guy. And for most people who grew up watching sports in the 70s, Howard Cosell was larger than life. All right, give me one more. Pick your best one.
123 years ago, Vincent van Gogh's paintings are shown in the first retrospective exhibit. Who you got as your favorite artist or painter?
Would you have seen that one coming? Was that? Why are you laughing at that?
I'm laughing at the extremely specific anniversary that we're celebrating.
Yes, Vincent van Gogh. Vincent van Gogh is my favorite painter. If you've ever been to a museum called the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, you will see a magnificent display of Van Gogh, including Starry Night, which is my single favorite individual painting. I have time for one more. Go ahead, do it.
Yes, I want to read this one because it's a funny memory. 68 years ago, the first performance of My Fair Lady on Broadway, starring Julie Andrews and Rex Harrison, who Hembo thought was a Beatle. Who you got as your favorite Broadway show?
Hembo likes Broadway shows.
My Fair Lady is my favorite Broadway show.
Is it really?
That's why he thought Rex Harrison was a Beatle.
I saw it 2 or 3 years ago, and it was so good.
See, you've not seen any of the contemporary theater, or you just don't like it as much?
I just don't like it as much.
Okay,
the older the better. Generally, with me, the older the better.
That's probably true. The best musical I've ever seen on Broadway is Hamilton. Hamilton is might have been the most incredible work of genius that I've ever seen in.
You saw it with the original cast, did you not?
Yes, multiple times.
Wow,
the best. So that would be number one. All right, fun day. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever Monday, right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.